I've read James Clavell's Shogun, and I watched the 1980 miniseries back in the days before cable television, where a miniseries meant such a show dominated one third of all available television that we could watch in our household. For the days of the series run, it was quite the phenomenon when it hit. Now, this new series, this new version of Shogun, I've watched the entire run. Here are my thoughts. Welcome to Fantasy for the Ages, the show where a father and son talk about fantasy, science fiction, and other things, nerdy stuff that we enjoy. Zach is my son. He's not here today. This is a Just Jim, the father episode. A quick take as I talk about Shogun, the recent miniseries, first season, we'll get to that, that appeared on Hulu, produced by FX. If you enjoy this, be sure to hit the like button to let me know. And if you haven't subscribed to our channel yet, check out all the stuff we've got here. But on faith, just hit the subscribe button. You can always unsubscribe later if you don't find what you like, but we think you will. So I wasn't sure. Did we really need another Shogun series on television? When I first heard this coming out, I was like, really? My memories of the 1980 miniseries were pretty awesome. I was just 10 years old, but my parents let me watch the show with them anyway. And I was pretty impressed with this whole Japanese culture that was on display on the screen. The fighting, the style of samurai stuff that was going on, it was cool. And then the intrigue between the various players, even as a 10-year-old, I was able to pick up on that. And then there was Richard Chamberlain. You know, he was playing Anjin-san. Totally laid up as the star of the show, and I thought he was pretty incredible. Ooh. Oh, and this was my first recollection of John Rhys Davies, who I'd be very excited the very next year to see again in Raiders of the Lost Ark. And who could have guessed that nearly 20 years later, we're watching him play Gimli on The Lord of the Rings. I mean, what an actor. John Rhys Davies, man. He rocks. Years later, I did go on to read the novel, and I was still left with a pretty favorable impression of the 1980 miniseries adaptation. I'm like, those lined up pretty well. Was it a perfect adaptation? Of course not. There's no such thing. But it definitely caught most of the key moments that I was seeing in the book, and the intent of the novel was definitely captured by the show. So did we really need Hulu to be putting this on TV for us? Yes. Yes, we did. This was excellent. But it wasn't perfect. Again, no perfect adaptation. Just doesn't exist. It's impossible to please everybody, of course. And there are some choices that the creative team's going to make that are just wrong, even though they thought it was right. We fans have our own opinions. So let me take us through, as the title of this episode said, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is the predominant part of this episode, because I've got so much to rave about. First, the production design, from costumes to set to actual cinematography. The show was beautiful. Attention to detail was just so impressive. The show succeeds in visually immersing ourselves in this story. The portrayal of the Spaniards and the Catholic Church, I thought, was very on point. I feel they portrayed with subtlety, some nuanced acting, and really a fair perspective on what they're putting out there for these various players. In particular, I appreciated how the Catholics were not allowed to be made into just the bad guys. They have complex motivations, and they are not one uniform thing. There's different individuals involved in the players of the Catholic Church there in Japan. They showed that, all these multiple elements that are involved, all these different individuals with working for different purposes. It's complicated, and they showed it. I thought that was amazing. The way the plot illustrated the power politics at play between the various factions of Japanese houses and alliances, that was done really well on the show. I thought they made it very clear for even someone who's just watching it with no background, never read the novel, doesn't know anything about Japan of this time period, didn't watch the first miniseries. They got a lot of good stuff out of watching this show. The script was written with excellence. The recognition of how John Blackthorne is being used as a pawn by Lord Torinaga, along with the subtle hints that Blackthorne has figured it out and is embracing it by the end. I liked that. Very well done. And then there was the performance of, and apologies for mangling Japanese names, but Tadanobu Asano, who played Kashigi Yubashiga. He beautifully plays the samurai lord of low overall ability, life skill, who's caught between the manipulations of wiser, sharper individuals. Lord Torinaga being one of those. This actor gave us both comic moments as well as tragic ones. And his final scene with Torinaga out on the cliff, brilliant. Some of the best of the show. I also want to give a shout out for Anna Sawai, her role as Mariko, as she pushed the issue in Ishido Castle, the showdown that eventually leads to her death. Her strong, forceful, and also emotional performance was impressive. I thought it was perhaps the best of the series. I definitely have to give whoop whoop to Hiroyuki Sanada, who played Lord Torinaga. I felt he had really big shoes to fill. He was replacing this amazing image I had in my head as a 10-year-old of the man who played Torinaga in the 1980s miniseries. I mean, that was Torinaga. But this guy, he nailed it. His subtle, constrained, and at times deeply emotional portrayal of this massive power figure was literally amazing. I also want to give one last good here, and that would be the subtitles for the Japanese language that was used. I know this is a little contentious, but I'm going to say keeping the Japanese actually as the spoken language on the screen helped immerse us into this world far better. While it also helped us identify better with John Blackthorne's struggles as he's facing this language barrier and trying to struggle through it, we were struggling too. Now, that brings me to the bad category, and let's just start off right with the subtitles again. Because there's a negative spin here, people. You had to spend so much time reading subtitles. Some of us, myself included, generally avoid shows with subtitles. That's not a pleasant experience for me. I want to watch the show. I want to listen to the show. I do not want to read the show. And then there's people out there who kind of casually like to watch things and just listen to it in the background. And you couldn't do that with the show at all because you had to be actively watching and reading those subtitles. So for some people, this was a complete turnoff for the show. It's a creative choice they made that, again, I see the reason. It goes in the good category, but it's also bad. And then there's the way Mariko was utilized in regard to the mother of the next emperor, the character Lady Ochiba. It left us a little confused as to just what was going on when the two of them were young girls growing up together. There were literally people out here in social media who were like, so did they have like a lesbian relationship? Were they pillow friends? What's going on? And I'm going to have to be changing how I think about Shogun. That is not what's supposed to be happening here. Even if that did happen there, it doesn't matter. That was irrelevant to the story. In my opinion, that was poorly done. That just confused things. And then they just move on. It didn't have a real active part in anything that happened later. Some of you might think different, but that's my opinion. I also didn't care for the romantic elements between Mariko and Blackthorne. Now, that's a critical part of this production. It's in there. It needs to be in there. It has a role to play. But I just didn't like the way they did it. This is one spot where I think the miniseries from 1980 did it better. It was a little more nuanced. And it strikes me as odd that something in 1980 in this category was better than what they pulled off in 2024. Okay, those are the bad. Now we get to the ugly, and I only have two. The first one is Cosmo Jarvis, the actor who played John Blackthorne. He never really truly embodied this character for me. I tolerated his performance. I was cheering for him. I wanted to like it, but I never loved it. It was sufficient for me to enjoy the show, but he just is not John Blackthorne. Didn't work. The other, the rumors, or perhaps it's more than a rumor now, of a Shogun season 2. There should never be a season 2 to this show. They have landed the plane beautifully. That's Shogun. And now they're going to do another season? There's no source material for another season. This could be Game of Thrones season 8 all over again. Cringe, man. We don't want that. Don't mess up this beautiful show. The money's probably there. It was very popular. Probably going to get a season 2. But I wish we didn't. I want to just bask in what was Shogun. Not Shogun season 1. Shogun. That's what I have for you today. Thanks for watching. Again, if you liked it, hit that like button. And if you have comments, share. I put opinions out here. You may disagree. Let me hear it. And if you agree with it, let me hear that too. I don't need just the haters. I want the affirmers. Come on, people. I'm a positive guy. All right. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.